Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon Finals, Major League Baseball, all the latest fighting news, and this season's NFL. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV to get the bonus and get into action. Bet online where the game starts.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Private Talk Podcast with Alexis Texas, and we are back, season 5. And today, Private Talk, we have Mia on the couch.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Hello and welcome. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit better. I've been, searching the internet. Who should I speak to? And your name has been popping up quite a lot. And you were captivating. I feel like you're a beautiful lady
who you
just exude confidence and, you know, your personality shows through your social media. So it's like, I had to come and sit down with you, find out what all this is all about, your rich husband spiels, you know, how, you know, personal you are with like your female fans, giving them advice and all about it. Get to know you a little bit better.
Well, absolutely. I just want to say, like, never in my life did I think that I would be on the same couch as Alexis Texas. I'm fucking stoked.
That means you've watched my porn before.
I mean, who hasn't?
I mean, you said you lived in Miami. You know, I'm quite popular in Miami.
I would say so.
My big booty definitely ran the streets of South Beach many times for Bang Bros.
The beauty standard. The beauty standard.
I love it. So let's talk about that. So when you got the DM and me asking you, were you like, oh my God, is this real?
No,
is this like kind of the thing? Or
Alexis Texas, like, I know her.
I mean, I am verified. So I'm verified. So sometimes you just never know. Cause even like me sometimes working with other people like yourself, it's like sometimes you don't know, is it this a fake page or whatever? And you can kind of see once you see like what your posting styles are. But at first, I mean, I didn't know who I was, but I'm grateful that you have.
Yes, absolutely. I definitely am familiar with, like, a lot of sex workers because especially, like, with my type of content and stuff, a lot of, like, sugar baby humor and stuff. I, like, cool with strippers, cool with porn actresses, all that stuff. So your name was definitely familiar, but from just, you know, you are an icon in the industry. Your name rings a bell to literally everyone, even if they don't want to admit it. I literally mentioned it to my boyfriend. I was like, hey, I'm going to do a podcast with Alexis Texas. He's like, no way, get a selfie. Trevi, I'm sick.
A belfie or a selfie? You know, those are really popular. I love it. I love it. Okay, so let's talk about that. You said your content is, you know, super sex worker friendly in a sense. You know, you said it's like, it's, you know, sugar baby talk. How did you get into that type of content? Is it something that you are real life sugar baby? Did you just like the whole lifestyle? And like, what is, like, how did that kind of fall into play where that's your content and how you became so viral?
So actually what started happening was when I was 18, I was living by myself in Miami. My parents were, my family were, like, they were in Miami, but they were very strict on me always. So the second that I had just enough money to get an apartment and just move out, I did, because I was just wanting to experience.
So you went to high school, like you went to junior high, like you grew up like in Miami.
In Miami, but okay. I never did shit. My parents are Latino, like immigrants, like don't fuck around.
But being in Miami, like, you know, everyone, you think about it, you see what's on the movies, if you've ever been, it's like, is it so as explicit as it is? Or were you completely like shy, like shut, or not shunned, but like kept away from anything like that? Like the bikini thongs, people walking out and very like, you know, just they don't give a fuck attitude, being sheltered. Did you, were you around any of that? Or did you just kind of always have that burning inside you?
I had seen it because, you know, my parents didn't lock me in a basement. Like I had seen it, like I was familiar with the culture, but for the longest time, I was not able to partake or even explore. Like I never even went to parties in high school.
Okay.
I was so focused on getting out of the house so I could just kind of live life that I graduated high school early, like at 16. I took so many classes, got out of there, started working from there to save up to have an apartment. So when I was 18, I could move out.
Okay.
So now I'm 18. I had just moved out. And I had gotten a DM from someone who had just continuously been mentioning, like trying to like get me to like meet up or whatever. And it was a very obscure account. But from what I could see, it looked like they lived a very fun life because there was yachts, there was clubs, there was.
But you couldn't really like see like who the person is. Like it was very luxury lifestyle. Like it could be something like that. Okay.
Yeah, it was definitely very obscure. And I was just feeling like I had like a couple of drinks. I was the only person in my office that day because I had to go in for some filing. And I was like, you know what, let me just respond to this person and see like what they want. So they sent me a message like, hey, like, let's hang out. Let's do this. Let's do whatever. Can I take you to dinner? Constantly, like a constant barrage of just trying to get me to hang out. One day I say, yeah. And he's like, where are you right now? And I was like, I'm in the office, but I'm just here like on my own free will, just kind of filing some stuff. So I'm like organized for next week. And then he goes, I'll pick you up right now and take you to lunch. We can go somewhere nearby. Cool. I'm literally just turned 18. I've never had like a relationship
and
with
this is
an adult.
Still the account that's obscure. Yeah, you have no idea. You don't know who you're walking into. Nothing. You're
so
just
stupid.
And at the time too, let's, you know, set the story. I guess a picture is like, were you, you were completely single. You weren't seeing anybody.
No.
You were just
no
young, dumb. And who knows if you're full of cum.
I wasn't getting any. Let's just say that.
Okay. So you were full of it. You just didn't know what was going on. So you were curious. You were like, someone's telling you all these things, which it sounds nice. You're like, fuck it. What do I have to lose?
Yeah. I didn't know what danger was. I hadn't gone into true crime.
So you, my girl. So, okay. So you go downstairs or you go out of your office and you, what do you walk into?
So some like, this like Russian guy like pulls up in like a G-Wagon. Nice watch, whatever.
Are you scared at any point at this this point? Are you just like, whatever?
Because I guess he's cute.
Okay. All right.
He was like a little chubby and I like chubby men.
Okay.
A little chubby, got a nice watch, got a nice car. And like, he seemed like an asshole, like off the bat. I was like, oh, perfect.
Sold.
Sign me up. So yeah, nothing. I went to lunch with this guy and he was kind of an asshole, but I kind of liked it because it was like fun and mysterious. And I had no idea who he was. He was dressing himself to like, be like this like obscure, pardon to like be redundant and reuse the word, but an obscure like heir to something that I had no idea, whatever. And I was
and you're
like,
not asking any questions
because
you don't care.
I don't give a fuck. I'm like, you're paying for dinner, you're paying for lunch, okay, sick. I'll just have another one, thanks.
Can I get it to no box, please? I'm hungry.
I was like eating smart ones. Like that's how like little money I had. Like, and I was just like literally just like stuffing my face because I'm like, this is the first real meal I've had in the longest time.
Okay.
I didn't give a fuck if we had a conversation or not. I'm eating. Like I'm literally.
Get it, girl.
So.
At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Nothing. And then I kind of just start like this like relationship with him where he's always like trying to like bring me places, take me out to a club, a restaurant.
Is any of it sexual at this point? Or is he trying to like be very handsy? Like, you know, is it like the whole like Mr. Gray like scenario where it's like kind of those things? Or is it like, because some people, you know, there's companionship. You know, obviously he met you. This is like an Instagram thing, you know? So it's like he has no clue what you're doing. He didn't even know your age. I'm pretty sure he didn't ask.
No,
you know
he didn't
like,
ask.
So it's like, you know, you're a beautiful chick, so I get it. So that's like, but sometimes people don't always want those things. So he was full on like, you're like my girlfriend.
Kind of, but like he would say that we are not dating.
Okay.
He's like, we are not
his
dating.
His commitment issue.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I found out some
there's
things
a lot of
later.
Issues.
There's a lot of things in the story. So basically what happened was that he was not this heir. He was just a club promoter at like associated to a really good hospitality group in Miami. So they were always doing really crazy fun things.
Okay.
He did make good money, but he wasn't an heir. Like that was like a lie. And I think that he just lied to me to like get my attention in the beginning. Not that I really even cared, but
something in your head went like ding that you were like, hey, if you're going to use me, I'm going to use this situation.
Of course. I mean,
so at this point, now you kind of get the idea of somewhat and not and having any idea, but like the sugar baby aspect of
there
like
was a transaction.
Or like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like at that thing, you're just like, I can get what I want and I don't have to like you have feelings or anything like that. And you're still getting whatever.
Though. Okay, I fully was attracted to this guy. I liked him so much. But he was very stoic and just like the way that he handled himself. And he was very no bullshit. So he would say like, oh, you're a gorgeous girl. Like, you're a pretty girl. You're my company. So in exchange, like, I will give you these experiences and pay your rent. And that's it. Like, it's a transaction. Like, you come with me when I want you to come to places. And then I, in exchange, he was just very cold like that. He was like, this is how the world works.
And you liked it as far as, like, just for what it was transactionally? Or did you start to develop feelings for this person?
I immediately just had feelings for him. And
so
then
you weren't looking outside for anything else because you were being fulfilled.
Yeah. And then he just went ahead and just go and like gave me all of these like benefits per se, like as a job. Like he gave me these benefits because for him and his
your 401k plan.
Exactly. He just did that because.
So describe some of your benefits. Like let's talk about how, because you know, it does sound very obviously it's transactional in whatever case, but as far as like job wise. So like break it down in like layman terms for like people out there trying to get to like, what are these incentives that he's dangling over yourself to give you like where you're, I'm sure at one point you probably stopped working because you didn't need to like that money.
I never stopped working because I was always afraid of like not being able to keep him because he was very, bipolar. Okay. And the way that he would just like be like really warm with me one day, and one day he says that he's sick of me. And it was very toxic in that like front. I never stopped working, but I did pick up a second job being his assistant at some point, because he's like, hey, like, I already like give you all of these things. Like, I'll give you also like just an extra like $100 a day if you just like handle a couple things for me. Mm-hmm. Nothing too crazy, really easy. I'll just give you $100 every single day. And I was like, okay, I'm broke, $100. Like, that's what I make working 8 hours a day. So
yeah,
I would love
why not?
To. Yeah. So it kind of got like that. And then after a while, he told me that like it just wasn't working anymore. I just wasn't getting what I needed emotionally, because I just like wanted him to love me. But that he would do these things to like punish me over very small things, because it was a very toxic relationship where he revoked kissing for like a month. And he knew that that was super important to me, and like it would fuck me up like emotionally and mentally, but like I just didn't do anything.
How long did this whole thing go on?
This was like 4.5 months.
Months. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say years. I was like, thank God this is months.
No. It was months, and it felt like years.
Okay.
It genuinely did
feel
like years.
So at any point in this, what of this time period did you like figure out that he was not this heir? He was a club promoter. He was like being a facade of what it was. Not only like the emotional thing that you were lacking because he wasn't offering it,
right,
but he also was putting up this front that wasn't really not him at all.
Yeah, so almost he just kind of told me within the first week, because he already got the vibe that like I just didn't care, and he picked up on the fact that like I was actually like attracted to him, like I really liked him. Like,
so y'all were fucking?
Yeah.
Were y'all bringing other people into the relationship at this time or at any time?
No, I didn't. I'm pretty sure that he was like seeing other women.
But not with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And for me, like I thought it was exclusive and all of that stuff, but he was a different story.
So this is the reasoning, kind of the setting the tone of like what made you become this sugar baby, like scenario of like something that kind of like where you see how you're getting played.
Yeah.
You got feelings for something, but you're also liking something because it becomes addicting, the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And even though if you're paying for it or providing for it or whatever it is, once you get that good champagne, you don't want to go back to the cheap shit. So it's like, how do you maintain it? How do you, you know, whatever. So what happens that it's like, he's saying it's not working or it's not working for you. Like, what makes the tone where that it's the next step of where this breaks out?
So I go ahead and I tell him, like, I just say can't, like, continue, like, this relationship anymore because I have to put me first. But he, even though it almost seems like he hates me, like, he doesn't give a shit about me, he says, well,
but isn't that the game, though?
That is the game, but he
because
does
that's,
care.
But that's the thing is, like, I think also, too, it's like, I don't know, how old was he?
He was 10 years my senior.
So it's like, and it's just 18. Men, I think, in general, it's the control of, like, it's like cat and mouse.
Yes, exactly.
So you're very young and impressionable. Yeah. You're being introduced to something, whatever, and he's seeing the sparkle in your eye. I mean, looking at him from the beginning to, like, now you're, like, in love.
Yeah, he was my god, and he loved that. And
yeah.
He loved that so much. But he understood that, like, I was, like, slipping away from his control a bit. And he was like, do you still need help with your rent? Because at this point, I was getting sexually harassed by my boss. And I had to find another job. But I was worried because I had very limited work experience. I'm 18. Yes, like I'm in college and I'm a junior in college at 18 and all of this stuff. But people are just not going to hire me based off of the fact that I'm a woman and the fact that I'm 18 years old, because my mental capabilities will always be overlooked. It's just like something that will happen in corporate America. People don't take you seriously until you make them take you seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So he understood that I was getting sexually harassed and I was trying to look for other jobs, but I would have to take a step down from pay and like I probably wouldn't be able to make my rent. He did have a soft spot for me. So he was like, how about this? I'm going to walk away from taking care of you, but I'm going to introduce someone in your life that will take care of you. And it's not what you think. You don't have to do anything. It is a girl that's in a very special circumstance. And if you help her, she'll help you. So I was like, okay, let's see,
like,
where this goes.
So what's the special circumstance?
So this woman, she is the inspiration of my character. My character is basically a parody of her.
Okay.
In all respect, like all perfect respect, because it's just, she was very comical in her own way. She didn't like mean it. So I just made her persona like a satire. She used to tell people she was Russian, but she's actually Ukrainian because she just figured Americans were stupid, like too stupid before the war to like understand the difference. Mm-hmm. And she was a sugar baby. Mm-hmm. She was 100% a sugar baby. And she was in a relationship with a very wealthy man in Florida, but he wanted her to live with him. And she didn't have friends or family in Miami, But she told him that she couldn't stay with him because she was staying with a cousin and her family would be much more comfortable if she stayed with the cousin. So I had to play the role of this cousin.
Okay.
And she would stay with me in my tiny one-bedroom apartment, literally sharing a bed. And this woman didn't have any cash, but she had his credit card. So she couldn't pay my rent, but she would give me literally everything I needed so I could make rent. She would get groceries, cosmetics, literally everything off of his card, as long as she's not paying for a physical hotel room so he can track her down. Then she would be happy because for a couple of months I'd be buying her time so she could work up the courage to move in with this guy. And that was the relationship. But she spoke very limited English. And she was also very cold in the way that she kind of like treated me because she understood that I was going to be like a very temporary person in her life. But after a while, and she was 32 and I was 18. So she also saw me as like this like kid, you know, that she was like, whatever.
Did you try to have any kind of relationship with her?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely tried for a bit. And then I noticed that she started to warm up to me when she just like saw me making a lot of mistakes with dating and dating older guys in general, because I already had the taste in my mouth of dating older men. Like, I liked the authority. I liked the power. I liked the fact that they were usually like more financially secure. It was attractive. Like, it was like the whole like boss secretary dynamic where you're like, you like this guy that like takes charge and like makes you feel comfortable enough to shut your brain off for a second. I think women flourish when they feel like they're being provided for.
I think that women can let, well, depending on the situations, because you let down your masculine and you can be allowed to be your in your feminine, so, where you feel like you are taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
So she kind of just like saw me like, you know, paying for my own Ubers to dates and coming back and like crying because I was.
So she was like your mentor of like your in between, you're coming from this sugar baby situation. She's in this other whole situation that you're kind of like navigating, but you're kind of seeing. Is she telling you about what her situation is, or are you just knowing that she's paying for his things with a card?
So she,
because are you getting any insight for the sugar baby world from her? So that's the whole, is like the knowledge is power.
Yeah. So not only would she give me advice on how to deal with men, but also advice like on like just like being like a sugar baby, even though I was like, I'm not a sugar baby. She was like, but the arrangement that you're looking for, like this rich boyfriend that'll take care of you, is not that far off. So open your mind a little bit, because we're saying sugar baby, sugar daddy, whatever. But like, it's not like, it doesn't have to be this old decrepit man who like is like, you're not like an escort. Like, it could be a relationship, but it's a relationship where the transactional bounds are like set in place. And like, these are the expectations, and anything, it's better than like a normal relationship, because at least there's no bullshit. You're honest. I want this. You want this. Meet me in the middle. If the transaction is broken, well, then we go our separate ways.
But don't you feel as though the lines are blurred from the escort to a sugar baby? It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, for sure. It, like,
it's transactional. It's not whatever. Obviously, it's in each situation, it's a choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing, is like why, you know, sex work is what it is. It's because we're adults and we're wanting to choose to say, call it what you want.
Right.
But in a sense, it's still transactional, which therefore makes it a sex act.
Of course.
Yeah.
Which is always why I found it really interesting how it's so stigmatized. Just because it's like, okay, like maybe we were a little bit more upfront with the fact that we don't want to end up with some guy that's broken living in his mom's basement, and now all of a sudden we're the problem. And it's always the broke guys that have a lot of shit to say, like, oh, she just wants you for your money. It's like, babe, look at your bank account. Like, I don't want you for your money. Keep your 2 cents. Like,
for sure.
You need it more than I do.
I think it's perspective. And I think in a lot of people in certain things, it's because, you know, when we're taught at a young age, it's this fairy tale situation that someone's going to come and save you on this white horse thing, whatever, and that's not reality. Where it's like, I think the perception of what people think do, and then you go into this whole other era of like, where women are just want equal rights and those things like that. So then it's like, what do equal rights mean? Is it just pay? Is it, you know, finances? And then it became like, whose dick is bigger situation of like, you know, who's going to be more alpha, being female or masculine, you know what I mean? And then now it's like the regression of like, why shouldn't a woman be taken care of, and the levels of what that means for you? So for you, if it means the status of having somebody, having his shit together, making you feel secure that you can navigate your life and just have a backboard or a sounding board to what you need, then why not? Yeah. And that's why for me, I've always been an equal opportunity. Like, for me, it's like, to each his own. Whatever you do that doesn't hurt me, then do whatever you want to do. As far as, until you start affecting other people's lives is when I feel like then it's like something questionable. Then decide what you want to do. But I feel like good for you, you know? And that's why I think that one reason seeing your page and like not knowing anything about your backstory or anything like that, but is that you have such a confidence about you, which a lot of women, and again, you find your happy medium in between and maybe in a sugar baby situation, but in relationships and how you navigate through relationships is you should be able to say you want to be taken care of. Yeah. It shouldn't be like if you being in a situation where everything's, you know, equal, whatever, that's your roommate situation. What's any situation that's any different? Yeah. And if you're not, you know what I mean, contributing and whatever equal means for you. And each relationship is different.
Yeah.
So navigating from you not really dating a lot from in your past, being like young, because you started this when you're 18, you know, so you have no like real experience, to really judge off. Now you have this 30-something-year-old woman who she's hardcore. She's telling you she's a little bit cold, but she's obviously loving it a little bit because she's seeing you and being endearing to you and telling you the game and kind of stepping those things. Where did you take that knowledge after she left, and how long did she stay with you until you progressed to your next situation?
She stayed with me for 3 to 4 months. And in that
Do you still keep in contact with her to this day?
We have each other on social media. So it's like very casual and very light and sparse.
Which Does she know that your character has based off of her?
Yeah, I told her when I ran into her in Carbone in Miami, she was with her sugar daddy, that at this point they're married.
Okay.
And she lives a very great, wonderful life, and she's gotten everything that she's ever wanted. So I told her in Carbone, and I was like, she's like, you're doing the whole like Russian sugar baby thing. It's doing so well. Like, congratulations. You've always like wanted to do personality things on the internet. And I was like, but are you, like, you're aware that that's based off of you, right? Like, literally. And then she goes, I had an inkling, but I like, in her own words, she was like, I had an inkling, but I wasn't sure, but I'm
wasn't going to toot my own horn. Yeah, but sweetie.
Glad it's working for you.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. That's awesome to like get kind of like a, keep on going, you know?
Credit where credit is. Yeah, no, she's like, it's hilarious. My friends love your content. So it's great.
Yeah.
And it's true. And I was like, I'm just, you know, just regurgitating all of the advice that you gave me, but like in a funnier way. So it's more palatable. Mm-hmm. It's digestible for the modern woman who doesn't know that what she's seeking is this type of relationship or like this type of lifestyle, right? So I would say that when she eventually did leave, it was because my mother came to visit me, and I just couldn't explain why I was like literally sharing a bed with like this like random woman who did not.
So you're sharing a bed with her too?
Yeah, like I didn't have an extra like bed or anything. I had a king bed, so we would just like.
Did y'all snuggle? Who was a little spoon? Who was a big spoon?
No, we actually did not snuggle. She would keep to her side, I would keep to my side, but it was so interesting considering that you don't know this person and you're just like sharing absolutely everything. And
so
I
it's like a hostel, but different, but it's yours.
Yeah, exactly. It's just my apartment I can't afford. So,
but it was yours.
Yes. And when she did leave, I started like dating like this much older Arab guy, and he was like taking care of me and doing all of this stuff. But then I left.
So your mom came and then you couldn't explain. So she had to like,
my mother was like, if you need help, like, I'm not going to take away your freedom. Like, you can just like always come home and like ask for help. But like, I don't want you like having to, you know, sacrifice things like privacy or like even safety, because you don't even know these people.
So what did you tell her that she would? Because you couldn't say like, hey, this is.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells. Amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff, like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
My mentor for being a sugar mom.
I don't know. I
was, baby.
I just said that she was a family member of the ex.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah, and she wasn't. She was his friend. But my mother was like, hey, like, just like, you can't do this. Like, I would appreciate it if you, like, got her out. And I spoke to her and I was like, are you okay with leaving? And she was like, honestly, like, this is just the time that I needed to, like, realize that, like, it's time to, like, move in with this guy.
So was
like,
that the guy that she's actually married to now?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
nice.
It was. So it did work out, right? Okay. But she was just, like, really anxious over the fact of, like, sharing a space with this man.
Yeah.
Like, he's inescapable.
Naturally.
Yeah. So at that point, she was like, okay, fine, like, I'm just going to move in with him. And she does that. And my life progresses. And, like, this is right before the quarantine. I was dating this, like, Arab guy who was a club owner in Miami, 17 years, my senior. But it just, I emotionally.
I was thinking, like, old wrinkly balls.
Right. he looked very young. He was.
He looked very
young. He was Algerian. You know, they age well. But it just, like, I am young. Like, I, like, wanted to have, like, a more passionate relationship. And he was just, like, more, like, looking for, like, stability and, like, life, but, like, it just, like, wasn't, the passion wasn't there, and I was, like, seeking it, and he wasn't meeting me in the middle, so I had to tell him, like, I like you, but you don't fulfill me, like, as far
was
as...
Was he paying passion. All of your things at this time?
At this time, like, I was just, like, living with him.
Okay.
So he was paying for everything.
Yeah.
He's Arab, but, you know, they apologize with bags and stuff, so it's not bad. But
I'm like, what does your closet look like?
It's very beautiful.
Like, you should have security in your closet, girl. Let's have champagne night in your closet.
Absolutely. So at this point, it's like still like the quarantine. Like, everyone switched to online dating, which I'm kind of like conflicted about. But I got in, and my first match was this guy who was 11 years my senior. He lived a fun, young lifestyle. Like, he liked to travel and ski and, like, do all this fun
now,
stuff.
Now, do you see all this because of pictures or because, like, they're telling you that they like these things? Like, how do you know and, like, how do you, like, scout this out?
A combination. So, like, you check, you take a look at their profiles, like, you look at their watches, like, their car, maybe, like, their surroundings, the type of finishes their house has.
Okay.
In those pictures. Where are they vacationing? Like, I can recognize certain places, like, I'm like, oh, he's in St. Bart's. Like, okay. And I'll be like, oh my God, when did you go to St. Bart's? If he says he went during high season, he's not broke.
Okay.
So, oh, like Aspen. Like, Aspen's not like a cheap place to just go.
You're doing your homework.
I mean, it's like, for me, it was like very familiar with traveling at this point. So I was just like, well, if he likes to kind of like, you know, rich people go to the same places around the same time, just like a flock of birds.
Yeah.
And if they're doing that, well, then
they're in the,
they can afford the rates to
or
be there.
Or they're scamming to be
or
there.
They're scamming. That's a good point. But I mean, at that point, you just have to like discern that in person. You can't, pictures will only get you so far.
True.
And it wasn't like he was like obviously flexing. It was just like, hey, like, these are the times that I took pictures of myself, because he's just a boy.
Yeah.
And I had like, we really hit it off. And I was really attracted to him physically and all of this stuff. And we just started dating. And the first week that we were dating, I mean, I immediately told him off the bat, like, I'm kind of crazy. Like, when I really like someone, I'll just tell them, like, I'm down to, like, make this exclusive. Like, if you don't want this to be exclusive, like, you will kind of want to throw up and, like, regret your life. Because, like, you know, like, what I could get. But I'm saying, like, I'm okay with you.
But don't men like that, I feel like? I feel like that's more of a turn on than a fucking turn off.
It depends if they're cucks. I mean, I never was really into the cucks, though. I was into men that's like, no, you're mine.
Okay.
Like, I'm not sharing. So he became
so
my boyfriend.
So do you go in being to the sense of like that you like you're, at this point, obviously, with your content, you know what I mean? The sugar baby, like,
this was
whole
before.
Thing. So it's like, but when at those times when you're like vetting those things, you go in being like that you want to them to pay your lifestyle that you want to do, or they're just already just giving you that because of the type of men that you're going after at this point?
It's interesting. It's more like when you become this like rich guy's girl and like you merge lifestyles with him, you are merging lifestyles. So you're going to be doing the same things that he's doing. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, I'm going to pay? Like, no, I'm not. Like, you're the one that wants to go to Aspen. Like, I could just fuck off and go to work. Like, you know what I mean? So it's, I make it.
See, that's clear. My problem. I have a life and I can't just be attached to people because I'm like, well, I have to work or I have this. And I'm like, I can't just go on your plane. Sorry.
For me, I was just like, I'm.
But at that age, too, it's like you're young and you're not even of age to drink. Yeah. So at this point, you're getting to do all the things that a 21-year-old, let alone a 30-year-old at that point, too, are like you're being exposed to a lot of like high-end things.
Yes.
So it becomes very desensitized to you because it's not a big thing anymore. It's every day.
I think
it's like changing your underwear.
Yes. I think it was Eddie Murphy that said this. And I feel like this is such a brilliant line that has like the most brilliant thing I've ever heard in the history of comedy. He goes, men can't go back sexually. If you lick their booty hole once and they liked it, they're gonna want every single girl after that to do the same. Women can't go back in lifestyle. If she dated a guy with a car, she's gonna want a guy with a better car or at least a car, but she's never gonna go back to some guy that takes a bus.
Facts.
So it was kind of like that where I like
how many booty holes have you licked?
Just one.
Just one.
This wasn't my favorite thing to do, honestly. Just wasn't
you're like,
enough.
Oh, you're bringing back. You're like, oh,
just one. And like, I didn't have a good time. And I made that known. I was like, I don't know why, but it doesn't smell nice.
That was after the club, I'm sure. That was Miami, 11 days. You're talking about.
Yeah, it was just like a little too sweaty for me. Memories. Look at you re-traumatizing me. God damn it.
There we go.
Yeah. All right.
You know, it makes it not go away. It makes it just easier and manageable. I'm good. I don't chase it. I just swallow it.
Strong
I'm a pro.
Bitch. Holy
that's right. You know, call me Miss Texas for no reason. No bigger go home, and I haven't gone home yet.
In Texas.
That's right. So, you hit it off really well with him. Y'all started being in a relationship. Yeah. How long did it fizzle out to the point where it's like, and at this point, once you get what you're quote unquote looking for, because you don't know what you're looking for, but you're in this situation, you're merged lives, you're doing this like nice lifestyle. Like, is it the not being fulfilled part is like, is it romantically? Is it because do you want a family at one point? Do you just want your lifestyle provided for? At what ends does it become where it's like just meeting like an ends to a mean? And when does it become where it's like, okay, now I have to like figure out what I'm doing? And obviously what your content, everything you provide isn't completely your life 1000% the same way Alexis Texas isn't who I am 100% of the time. It's, you know, it is a persona, but it is a big part of who I am, but it's my other character that I get to play and have fucking sex with everybody that I want to.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good way to put it. So this guy, like, his family had a lot of money, too. And, like, they had, like, a really, like, nice, like, old lady-looking house in Miami. And I always felt kind of inadequate because I know that I am capable of making my own money and all of this stuff. But, like, instead of fighting against the patriarchy, I kind of, like, make it work for myself. And then I blossom in my own way. Because there's a million and one ways for people to make money without having to go to a 9-to-5.
For sure.
I mean, if you really love what you're doing, it doesn't feel like you're doing a 9-to-5, but you're still putting in the hours. But I'm not going to go sit in a cubicle and waste this beautiful face on just like customer service calls. It's not going
to
happen.
As you shouldn't. And I think that that's also another thing that goes back to like homage to yourself is like seeing someone like yourself so young. But and I didn't even know your age until you came in here. Yeah. But you just you have a young appearance and like you could tell from your content that you are young. But it takes to the point with even with that being said is that you're very confident and you know what most 30 something year olds have like got to know nowadays, then like, you know, so it's like you're starting the game a little bit like before much everybody, like, you know what I mean? So, which
legally.
Is what I feel is as a woman and I love, you know, I can't necessarily say that I'm a feminist because I have certain situations where I feel like I don't think feminist is a completely the right word of what that gives to us. Like, I don't like, I'm not a man hater or any of those things, but I'm pro women.
Yeah.
So for me is like, when I see young women like yourself having such a strong head on your shoulders, and obviously you've been through what you've been through at 18, and that's really, you know, it's hard to figure that out by yourself, and you aren't here today without having go through struggles. But what I love is hearing your story of like how you've evolved into like who and why you are so confident and can make great decisions at your life at this point than maybe at 18 and 19 you didn't know. So it's like giving the knowledge to the viewers of like what that looks like if this is what you want to do, like what, like how this you can go about and feel confident about it and not have a stigma behind it, not have shame behind it, is because it is your choice. It is your right to whatever. And you're very knowledgeable that you could do a 9-to-5. But if you don't want to, then why? And the thing is, nowadays, is that the world is set up so that we don't have to be succumbed and subject to being chained to somebody else's business, that right. We can create our own lanes. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's fascinating with your story, is because you built that off of a sugar baby context. Mm-hmm. And that's not even a scratch of who you are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I personally think that shame like that was just like constructed by men to like keep women much lower than beneath them. But if you don't fall victim to feeling shameful for the things that you had to do in your life to be where you are now, it doesn't fucking matter, you know? Who gives a fuck?
I don't think shame is, I can't say it's this sexualize it as far as men. I think women do it to women as well. Like, mm-hmm. You know, even like watching some of yourself on your stories, you still post the real time of like the women shaming you because let me show you what not to do. Like, how do you deal with the negative parts of those things?
I mean, I know how good my life is. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I would be fucking slitting my wrist too if like I was so miserable I had to project that onto a woman who is literally making people laugh on the side of the street.
So life is, has there ever serious. Been a situation that in a negative context where it's triggered you because of something they've said?
No.
Or have you always been where it's been like it just hasn't bothered you and it rolls off your back? Because I'm from the digital world of things that's very later on in my career, but it's also then there's forums, there's all these things that people comment badly about you. And me, I never fed into it because I was like, they don't even know who I am. They just see an image. So it never bothered me, but it would bother me in person. And when I would do certain things, when people would say things, because that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. But for me, I had to have reflection of knowing that no one will ever know who I am unless you're in my bubble or my circle or whatever it is. So why care about those things? Being so young, is there anything that's ever like, you know, made you to a point and like, I think it's the cross between the two. It's like, I think in my 20s, I was like, fuck it. I don't give a fuck what anybody cares about me. But at some level, there is emotion behind who you are and you are a person and you have feelings. Has anything ever made you feel triggered by what somebody said because of what you're either advertising or your message behind it?
I mean, never quite. But I definitely do remember a time where I was pregnant and I had a miscarriage. I announced my miscarriage and then I had a wave of men say that, I mean, look at your content, like, God did that child a favor, like, you would be an inadequate mother, and, like, you deserve, your child, like, deserved to die. And that was, like, the only thing that got to me, because things about me don't get to me, but it's my unborn child, like, doesn't need to be in your mouth.
It's heartless, and for sure.
Completely heartless. I was getting, like, videos sent to me of men, like cheering in bars that
I
lost my child. And it wasn't that like it got to me where it made me question my self-worth or my capability to be a good mother to another human being, because I'm like, I know I can. But it was more like I just couldn't believe that people could be so
inhumane.
Cool.
Yeah. No, for sure. You know, and being, you know, a sex worker, like, and being in the business for over 20 years, it's like, you see on certain levels and nothing. I mean, there's been things to me, but I don't let it roll off my back or whatever. Like I said, like there's been small things that I've had to work on and seeing things people in person say things.
Yeah.
But it's more a reflection on them than you.
Absolutely.
But there's just things like words hurt. And so it's like we are people. It doesn't matter what you say. You know, it's like, you know, we still have feelings. And it's unfortunate that people think like that and even kind of like go to like a level of that. It's like their own insecurities. So it's for me, it's like, I go and go back to the motto of to each his own. If it doesn't affect you, then why are you worried about it?
I'm so worried.
Why do you care?
Why do you think I care?
Like, why do you care what's going on in my uterus and my pussy? Nothing. Like, why? Why? Mm-hmm. So where did you go from there?
Yeah. I just started like walking around his house and I was like, you know who I feel like right now? I feel like that woman who was my roommate a year ago. At this point, I was 19. I feel like a Russian sugar baby. I just whipped out my camera because TikTok, it was during the pandemic, so people were like on TikTok and I had been consuming a lot of that content, but I wasn't really posting. And I just like whip out my phone and I don't know where I pull this out of my ass. Like I just start off like going, my life is so difficult when my sugar daddy is at work. I have to walk the dogs, and start complaining about like these very like meager tasks when I should just be like at the spa. And then I say, like, if men ask you what you study in school, you have to say STEM, because STEM to me means sugar baby training, education of money. We love women in STEM. And just like bullshit jokes like that. I think one of my favorite ones that I said was, if men ask you what sign you're the most compatible with, you have to say dollar sign. And I just posted it, and it was like really silly. It like didn't really mean anything. And I was just like, what?
But I'm sure it got a lot of views.
25 million kind of overnight. And at this point, I went from having no followers to I jumped to like 300,000 off of one video. And I just kept posting it.
Did your sugar daddy at this point know that what was happening?
So at this point, like, I told him, like, look at all of this attention. And he was like a finance guy, like managed a lot of people's money. And he was like, we just got to get you monetized. Immediately right off the bat, he was like, stop thinking about, like, you're on a high that people are appreciating, like, these jokes that you, like, came up with. Think about how you can make money from this. Mm. And then just keep going. Because he, the second he saw a business opportunity, he was like, I don't give a fuck what you post. Fucking make the money. Mm-hmm. Because he went from, I went from being a financial burden to all of a sudden, like, we were just getting really cool opportunities.
Did he want some of it?
Yeah, of course. Not money per se. He, towards a specific point in my relationship, he was like balls deep into my career and he knew how much money I was pulling in. So he would make me like pay for certain things, which I would have been cool with. But like, I'm like, I'm not paying half the mortgage of the house that you refuse to put in my name. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing that. Because at the end of the day, when you want me out, I paid half of the fucking mortgage and I leave with nothing. Like, it's not happening. Like, logical things like that. But I was like, yeah, of course I'll get dinner every so often.
Yeah.
Like, it's as soon as I could, like, I genuinely love someone. Like, it's part of me to, like,
your love language of, like, you want to give. Yeah.
And it's not like the transaction is like only like, I'm your girlfriend, you give me this. But like, I do want this man that provides. And in exchange, like, if you want a woman that stays at home more and like cleans more and cooks more, like, I need you to like pull in more money if you want those things from me, because if not, I'm still in survival mode.
Would you say that you were in love with him?
Yes, I was. I thought honestly that I was going to marry him. And my career just kept taking off. Like, after 1 month, I had 1 million followers, 2 months, 2 million, 3 months, 3 million.
How was that feeling of knowing that, like, you basically did it, not knowing if anybody would even listen to you, having zero followers, and now you're like getting this money that you've never had before, that you're doing all this stuff? Like, how did that make you feel inside?
Well, I mean, it was really addicting in the beginning because it was an instant dopamine rush. I'm a little bit like on the spectrum, in all honesty. So I don't really like get dopamine from traditional ways. Like, it's like, it's very hard for me to even complete like basic tasks because my ADD is so hard, and certain things like that. But like, it was such easy work for, I put in time to like organize videos and come up with jokes, but like filming on TikTok was relatively seamless. Posting and then having millions of people just like, it's praise addicting. You.
Yeah.
Of course, there's like an element,
it's like,
to
where
that,
do you
that,
want feedback? Where do you want, you know, I mean, like, what are you doing? Like, what can I do next?
Yeah. I never had a lot of friends or anything growing up, and I got heavily bullied, but because it's because I had like a lot of issues socializing. Like, I wasn't someone that was like very like okay with making eye contact. Like, that's stuff that I had to work on later. That's why I mentioned, like, I do have autistic traits. Was diagnosed with autism because there's not enough of it. But they're like, you definitely do have autistic traits, but it's probably because you have, like, severe ADD. Hmm. So you do end up on the spectrum somehow. So that was really hard to me because my parents that are immigrants, they just, like, reject the idea of neurodivergence.
Yeah.
They're just like, you're just, like, a smart cookie. And, like, maybe you're not, like, the best at being social. But that's something that I had to learn later on because it's all masking.
Yeah.
And it was like the first time in my life that I felt like popular and like cool. And like, it almost makes me emotional because I always tried to like be out there and outgoing. And then people would be like, she's a little weird, or like, I don't get it. Like, she's trying to be funny, but it's not hitting. And it's like, yeah, like, I'm sorry. I was trying my best. Like, I didn't understand my brain, but like, now I'm more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So at the time it was intoxicating, but then I also had this like, I was projecting like this image, this message of self-confidence and like knowing that you're expensive. But I still had some little, the inner child, like the little girl inside that was looking in the mirror and not recognizing what was happening around me. It was like imposter syndrome.
You had it, but you didn't feel it.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I'm sure like you can kind of relate to this, where you're Alexis Texas to a lot of people, but inside you're also you. And a person that a lot of people don't know. And like, maybe they claim like to know your personality based off of what you portray online, but they don't understand that like a certain aspect of that is a character. Mm-hmm. It's a caricature that you portray because that's just business. Like, mm-hmm. that's Hollywood, baby. Like, that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
So it was imposter syndrome where, like, I was like, do I really, like, deserve this? Like, people are like, saying, oh, my God, my sugar baby queen. But, like, is that me? Oh, my God, like, you're so funny and so this and whatever. But I'm doing this all in an accent that does not pertain, like, to, like, my actual nationality. Like, I'm Hispanic. And it was like, wow, like, people, the second that I started portraying a character that wasn't myself, I was like.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for. Trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So maybe I am the problem. So that was like another thing that I had to battle with in the beginning. Where I'm like, am I worthy of this attention? Or was this simply because I decided to be someone else that I was finally accepted? Mm.
For sure. Thank you for sharing that. And I feel like it is, you know, when you become a content creator, and depending on what kind of content you create, obviously mine was like an adult performer. Like, you know, you don't want to go by your legal name for other reasons. And like, whatever reasons why you like made your character is. At a certain level, there is alignment, but there is also, too, is you do deserve it. And it is beneath all of that character or not is you. I think that with myself, I can speak for is it was being called something else. And Alexis is still my real name. So it wasn't far from who I was. But obviously, Texas isn't my last name. But it's like it was easier to be who I really was and not. And I stopped trying to be something I wasn't. I am this sexual person. So I feel like with you is not that you were like made to be a sugar baby, but you were made to make some light of a situation and make people feel good about it. You're positive. You bring a light up to a situation that doesn't have to be a dark thing. It could be a positive thing that people put such negativity around it where it's like, and those things is when we get older is like, sometimes it's like, people are like, oh, you're not good enough. Like you are for the right person and the right audience, the right people that kind of like, you know, look at the pop of like went from 0 to 1 million to 13, you know, a million is like there's more people that relate to you than you realize. And that's why it's like what is a beautiful thing is when you are so unique is having the courage to go in these lanes and like really identifying, speaking your truth is because more people can relate to themselves and speak their own. So it's like you're an advocate for just being you. And that's a beautiful thing. It's like you didn't think that you belong, but you belong in so many other spaces. You know what I mean? So it's like it's just, you're funny. And you belong, you know, and that's the thing is it sucks to feel like you don't belong because there's so many things. Like even if this, like I said, like I think sugar babiness of like your content is a scratch of who you are, not when you're very smart and intelligent, knowing what you could get in those things. And there's a lot of telling things in between that than just sewing, like just being a sugar baby.
That was so beautifully said. You're so good at speaking.
For me, it's more the authenticity of, like, for me is I like this to be a safe space for people to be, like, you know, for your fans to get to know a different side of you and like ask the questions and make, you know, feel where you're vulnerable enough to share that. Because, you know, you are in such a, like, your content is such, you know, if it's a sugar baby thing and you're giving advice and it's great advice, but some people may think that maybe you're just always silly, but there is a softer side to you. There is other things that, like, define of how you got here to make yourself so funny and relatable to everybody. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. So I like to tap into those things.
Well, thanks.
So let's talk about, on the flip side of, like, we talked about your journey and, like, how you kind of, like, navigated those things. How do you feel about, like, nowadays, like, there's shows like Love is Blind and they're on these pod things and, like, you know, you coming from a not necessarily a different bias, but a different perspective of love and having people in your life. What do you think and what is your perspective on these kind of shows?
I would love to talk about Love is Blind for a second. Holy shit. Have you been keeping up with it?
I am definitely hate that the reunion is, like, in a week. I don't like that. But, you know, we're here. And I was like, I saw something before I came here and I was like, Netflix, I will pay you $20 right now. You can send it in the mail. You can send it in my email. But then you should have it now and not on the 13th. But
oh, my God. Yes. Oh, so I actually do have a bone to pick with things like Love is Blind, because yet they're still putting conventionally attractive people, like, no one that on that show was ugly. Like,
there's been some seasons.
It's like,
I'm like, it depends on who you are.
They're still, like, able-bodied people, though, at the end of the day. Like, I'm like, if Love is Blind, oh, put a paraplegic in it. Let's see if Love is really blind. Let's see.
Huh? This is true.
Love is Blind.
But, like, I also think that there's also, like, probably waivers, stigma, standards, and requirements in the regular life, right? That you would be, like, what you would want, because that they're basing them off of a personality or some kind of computing, some kind of science of something. Of how they're pairing them together. Because I feel like a lot of the people, what I think is, and I've been a fan since the beginning, is that it shows taking the surface level things of what we think is love and, like, those things and, like, knowing the internal part of who a person is to a point. Mm-hmm. And now you have outside, you know, things, and then you have people who just, like, when we fall in love with potential, like, maybe the people that are casting the people, they think, like, what they could be because of by the answers they're saying. But just because I'm answering that doesn't mean I will identify with that in real life, because maybe I haven't done the work. Maybe I haven't gone to counseling. Maybe I don't even know about myself. And maybe I don't know what I'm going to do in real life situations. Right. And that's what I think is a problem, is why sometimes when they're like, there is a lot of compatibility if you're willing to do the work. But why do a work with a stranger if you don't really have to? Unless it's,
of course,
that much of a, like,
good
sparky
TV
person. I'm a love person. I'm a romantic person. I mean, I am single. I've done a lot of work. For me, it's, like, not about being in just a relationship, but the relationship. And so it's like, I'd rather wait my time until I find someone that checks off my boxes. If people think that's whatever, then that's a them problem, not a me problem. Mm-hmm. But that's the same thing with this, is, like, why I'm hopeful of, like, well, what would this experiment? I was like, can they have a sex worker friendly one? Because I want to be a part of the pod. So
I think you would crush Love is Blind.
But the thing is I would be canceled before it was started, because I'm sure I would be, what was it called? I don't know, like, kicked out because I'm a sex. I really was in porn. No, they're like, because it was funny, because this season they did a whole thing where, like, oh, you have an OnlyFans. I'm like, why do they make it like it's such a bad thing? Like, yeah. And so what? That means that I'm getting paid. You're welcome.
I will say that my only thing is, like, I don't think that actual sex work should be so glamorized the way that it is in the media, because there's a lot of wide-eyed, bushy-tailed 18-year-olds that have no idea what's going to hit them in the face. And they sign up because they think that they're immediately going to get the life of their dreams. And in reality, they're just being opened up to, like, the manipulation from X, Y, and Z, like, outside sources. I just feel like we could talk about it, but I want people to be aware that not everyone is going to get lucky. And as long as, like, you're aware of the risk, because there's a lot of girls that just, like, don't know, like, what, like, maybe the long-term consequences is of, like, you, like, maybe not going so far in porn. Or maybe, like, you should, like, if you're doing it for a specific reason, like, what is the reason, like, think about it. I just want always, like, the youth to be super aware of what they do is permanent. If they're okay with that, everything exists off the basis of consent. go crazy, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm a person who's not going to judge you.
For sure.
But I want people to be aware that it's not always roses and gold. Like, it's
for sure.
A lot of hardship.
I think that that's within any business. And I think that for me, I definitely agree with you. And I think that it's one of those things people have to really take a hard, you know, thing. It's something that it does will not go away. It's something that will always be there.
Yeah.
But I think that it's also, you know, we are in an adult level things where it's like with the social media, with the, you know, so many like just media with phones and cameras and everything, like anything is like outdoable. So it's like one of those things where it's like you can't really beat it. So it's like you should know.
Yeah.
You should, you know what I mean? So it's like it's
you have interviews
for
with
sure.
sex workers that tell
for
you
for sure.
About
and that's the beautiful
shit.
Thing is like there's good, there's bad and ugly and mainstream and 9 to 5, like you said, you were harassed by, you know, some of your bosses prior to.
Yeah, literally happened
and it's
to
just
me.
being aware of your surrounding, being aware of what's right or wrong, what your boundaries are, and like being like just talking about those things. And that's why I think it's such a good thing for people to more that the key communicate with this, and more that it doesn't seem like that's such a bad stigma. Like, we should talk
more,
up, you know,
yeah,
you see something, say something, speak about it, you know?
Yeah, if we gave people like a safe space to open up and like just be able to like talk about this candidly, the understanding would just go so far. Like, women would feel more comfortable with talking about it. Like, the fact that people are so uncomfortable with talking about things like sex or whatever, I think is so silly. Like, everyone has sex. Like, how are you here? How am I here? Our parents.
So what's your favorite position?
I actually like missionary.
Missionary only? Yeah. So you can give eye contact?
I just
that
like,
you've worked so
really,
hard on?
It's really intimate, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
You work really hard on. It's just really intimate. And like, also like, I'm like a fan of my boobs. So I'm like, just look at these.
Okay.
So like that's my personal. And it feels better for me. I have something called a retroverted uterus. So it tilts backwards instead of tilting forward. And for some reason, it just like, it's more pleasant for me. So that's the position that I like.
We like the more pleasant.
But I like it.
So last thing, what is some advice that you could give to anybody out there that maybe is looking for a sugar baby situation, just a content creator situation, and some life advice that you could give any of your fans out there watching you?
Yeah. If you want to go find a rich husband, first, you need to kind of write down all the qualities of a man that would satisfy you. Writing it down is a really good form of making sure that you stay accountable to your own goals and don't stay distracted. Because I hate when people bring up to me and they say, oh, so you want a rich man that'll treat you like shit instead of getting a poor one that'll treat you like a queen. I was like, who said that you have to sacrifice those things to get what you want? Because I could say that my current partner is doing amazing and he treats me like $1 million. Like he is genuinely so in love with me. I'm in love with him. But he just goes the extra mile above and beyond. And financially, I'm comfortable. So it's just like, why do I have to sacrifice? Like, you're just constantly telling me that I have to settle for things and I don't have to settle for shit.
No, you don't.
No, you have to understand your worth. You have to understand your value. And if you, that's why I have like qualms with people on like the Fresh and Fit podcast, because it's like these guys that are preaching like, oh, like you want a high value man, like, but you're not a high value woman. Like, what do you bring to the table? I bring security. I decorate the table and wash the dishes on the table. And then I step out and go to Pilates class to look good for when you're done with your meeting and talking to guys.
Uh-huh.
And then I give you emotional security. I'll be the mother of your children. I'm your partner. I'm your best friend. I will do what you need me to do because I will function as a compliment to you.
Okay.
And you will function as a compliment to me. It doesn't have to be like this like weird slavery binding relationship that people paint it to be. It's not like that. I'm just a little bit more traditional with my values. And just because I vocalize it, people were calling me a gold digger and a sugar baby and all this stuff. So why shy away from that instead of I just embraced it?
You just know what you want and you know your worth. And
here we are.
Amen to that. I love that for you. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on. And please let us know where we can follow you, support you.
Yes. My name is Mia Dio. You guys can find me on TikTok as Mia Dio. On Instagram is Mia Dio with two eyes. If you get lost, just Google me. If you see any sketchy articles, I probably did do that. So you guys have fun.
I love it. All right. Private talk. Until next time.
All right. Bye, guys.
This episode is sponsored by Bet Online.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.